Hey, so welcome to another episode of the Social Media Success Series. Today I'm joined by the lovely Rachel Rogers, who is a dog trainer who specializes in the smaller breeds of dogs. And we're going to talk a bit about Rachel's social media journey in today's podcast. So we're going to just start and let Rachel introduce herself because she'll do a much better job than I will. So go ahead, the floor's open to you.
Thank you. So yeah, my name's Rachel. I'm a clinical animal behaviorist and a dog trainer. I started my life actually working with other animals as an animal trainer. So I actually used to be a dolphin trainer. So that doesn't make you very popular these days. But I have a degree in psychology, which is all about kind of learning theory. Then I did my master's degree in animal behavior. And I also have a teaching qualification. And when you shove the three together, hopefully makes me quite good at getting my messages across to both owner and dog. I used to be a manager for the RSPCA. I've been a manager for Dogs Trust, and I've been self-employed now for just over 2 years, running my own business, which is called Nose to Trail.
Awesome. Brilliant. Okay. And we know that you're quite, well, I know you're quite good at social media. I've had the pleasure of meeting Rachel in person at the Women's Business Awards. So we had a good conversation there about all things, including social media. So just give us a bit of background with your social media journey. What platforms do you currently use at the moment?
Sure. So at the minute, I'm probably most active on TikTok, but I do use Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And I try and post on all of those daily. But I try and do that. The main four, so Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram, I do as a content scheduler. And it's just the same post across those. But yeah, TikTok is where I find myself losing many hours of my week getting into discussions about dogs on there, but we'll come on to that later.
Awesome, brilliant. So out of the four big ones you use then, which do you find is most useful for your business?
I get the most custom off Facebook, but I get more interaction and likes on Instagram than I do on Facebook. But actually, in terms of bookings, definitely Facebook out of those ones.
Awesome, brilliant. Okay, so let's get into the beginning of your social media journey. So loads of people I spoke to, some have started way back on MySpace, others are more at the moment. So where did you sort of start your social media journey, and how did you feel thinking, I've got to get this business sort of going, you know, what's the best place for me to be and why am I on there?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of kind of personal life, I was around when we had MySpace and Bebo and Vampire Diaries, if you ever came across that one. That's me showing my age. That was a weird one. But I've not used that kind of thing for work. Work-wise, I set up my Facebook page, my Twitter and my Instagram page all in March 2020 when I first went self-employed. And I set them up just before doing my website. So I kind of had them there really to try and get friends and family members to start following them, just to kind of give them a bit of traction. But I only really started posting regularly when I went fully self-employed, because I actually, and it might be worth us digging a bit deeper into, but I was working self-employed whilst having another job till I got to a stage where it was sustainable to be able to fully rely on the income from my dog training as my sole source of income. But yeah, I've had those pages going for a while, and then TikTok joined the party later because I really thought I was not cool and trendy enough to have TikTok. I thought I was too old, and I'm still refusing to dance on TikTok. That is not what it's there for me.
So what you're saying is you can do TikTok without dancing then?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I have one video on there where it looks sort of like I'm dancing, but I've actually stood still. It was like a filter that made your body wiggle. I'm not going to make anybody feel uncomfortable by watching me dance. No, we don't need to go through that. That will definitely lose me customers. Would not be bringing any in.
Oh, that's brilliant. So yeah, so you use obviously Facebook, and that's a really big one for a lot of pet business owners. The majority I come across are big Facebook users. So what was the sort of gauge? How do you get people engaging with your content? Because I know Facebook for organic reach is quite hard, isn't it? So what do you do to really get those customers through the door on Facebook?
Yeah, so when I first started, I made sure that I was in like all my local dog friendly groups, because there's loads. I live in a tiny little place called Nantwich, which is on like the Shropshire Cheshire border, and they've got this Nantwich dog owners group, which is run by a couple of dog groomers who live nearby me. And I joined that, and I was in all of these like buy and sell crew, buy and sell Nantwich groups. And every time someone was asking about dogs, I just made sure I commented.
Yeah.
And some of them won't let you join as your page. So I was joining as like my personal page. And then on my personal profile, I had like very clearly a link to my website, and my cover photo, which was public,
yeah,
was like a cover photo related to my website. So yeah, that hopefully if people then were like, well, who's she? Because we all do it, don't we? We all have a good old Facebook stalk of people. They click on you to see like, who's this woman who's commented about, I don't know, dogs in Stanley Park. They click on it and then they'd see my profile would have this big cover picture saying nose to trail. And you would hope that they would come that way. I mean, you still end up, and I get them now, where people have seen me comment as my personal page under my name. And then when you go into that like hidden messages bit on Facebook in your spam folder, there's loads of messages in there that I've completely forgotten about, where people are like, oh, do you do puppy training? Do you do dog training? And I just have a generic message now that I copy to all of those people that's like, please just contact my business page. Because I never logged in as me. I'm always logged in as work. So I always miss those, sadly. But yeah, a lot of it to begin with was using my personal page rather than my business page and then trying to push people over to that. And the other thing that I did, mainly because I had more time than I do now, because I didn't have the audience, you know, in terms of social media audience, but also client base, I was nowhere near as busy. So I set myself a challenge of once a month, I did a Facebook Live. So they were kind of like, on topics, and I'd advertise those in the local dog friendly groups for like a couple of weeks beforehand. So at that time I went self-employed 10 days before the first lockdown, thanks Boris. I was putting up like how to help your dog during lockdown, and I actually did a series of videos where I did this is how optimistic I was about how the COVID lockdowns were going to go. I decided I would do this set of videos called virus variety videos, where I created a free enrichment video for dogs every single day of the lockdown. I mean, I ran out of ideas before we officially got out of lockdown. Well, I think I did about 50 and then was like, why are we still in lockdown? I'm really running out of ideas. But it kept me entertained during the lockdown. It kept my dogs entertained. And that really helped me to reach more people, because I was getting videos from people I'd never met before of their dogs doing the same thing with like a tea towel and toilet rolls and stuff that I'd put up the day before. Yeah. And then I was sharing all of those as well on social media. And that really helped. And actually, that ended up getting me some publicity in the papers as well, because of the amount of dogs who were joining in with it. So yeah, lives and little tasks that people get, free content, really helped on Facebook for me to develop that audience.
So what I'm getting from you from that was you were Joe Wicks basically for dog.
Yeah, but I was also shoving my face with cake and not as physically fit.
Oh, that's awesome. So yeah, Facebook Lives, Instagram Lives, the things I really encourage people to sort of get involved with. And I know a lot of people aren't comfortable showing their face, but is it a case really of getting over that fear, you know, getting yourself out there, using your dog and just showing people what you can do?
Yeah, and actually, as it happens, my first TikTok live that I did, because I didn't understand it, I don't know why, from the get-go, I was all right with Facebook and Instagram. Actually, Facebook lives, I always did from my desktop, so like I could see my webcam, I used dual screens, so like I could see comments popping up and I could reply to them, and it was much easier. I find Instagram harder because I just end up with my fat thumbs all over the screen. But TikTok, I didn't have a clue what I was doing with a TikTok live. And so the first one I did, I think it was only this summer, I just had my dogs in the garden and I literally was just showing the dogs. I didn't show me. In part, that was probably because it was when we had the really hot weather and I don't think anybody needed to see me in a bikini sweating. So I just showed the dogs. And I was answering questions about dogs. I just was like, I'm going to be here for 20 minutes, ask me questions about dogs, and was just showing my dogs the entire time who were mooching around the garden. And that one was really good because I ended up with people joining my membership and going through that way, booking onto like webinars and stuff from that, because someone asked about separation issues and then I was able to do a bit of an upsell without even planning on doing it. Because originally it was just, I think it had said there was a TikTok tutorial and to reach the next stage of it, you had to go live for 5 minutes. And I was like, oh, right, okay, here we go. I'll have to just show my dogs for 5 minutes. And it ended up actually being much more beneficial than I expected it to.
Yeah, well, that's brilliant. But so the first couple of lives you did on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok and stuff, was it a case of sometimes you were doing the lives and there wasn't much engagement at all or interaction with other people?
Do you know what? I'm really lucky because I have a couple of really sweet friends who tune into everything that I do. And I never actually sat them down and asked them to do this, which you actually could, couldn't you? You could ask friends and family to do this. I didn't. And they just turned up and it was so nice to see their little names popping up and then being able to use the wave feature and be like, hi. And there's a lady, one of them, Laura, she's called, and she appears on every live to this day that I've done. She hasn't missed a single one. And she always asks really relevant questions. And I've not primed her, because I think some people do. And there's no harm in that. You know, you're struggling for content. You don't want to just sit there going, it's just me on my own. You could ask people to like tune in and ask you questions, but she would always ask really useful things. And she asked me one, I was on a Facebook Live for CAM, Canine Arthritis Management, recently. They've got amazing reach, like hundreds of thousands of people. It's incredible. Yeah. And she tuned into that one and started asking me questions about what do you do if you're pet is bereaved. So like, she had three dogs, two of them have died, and the one remaining dog is really struggling now. And it was such a relevant question, and it was so important to other people in that group. I didn't ask her, and I wouldn't have asked her, because it's such a personal thing to talk about. But she asked that, and the host, who's a vet, asked me, and I was like, oh, I know that person. I didn't expect it to be her, but bless her, she was there asking questions. But I think if you are worried about that, I actually always had notes. And one of the best things for me about doing it on my laptop is you can stick those directly behind your laptop. Yeah. So you can glance up at them and it just looks like you're looking at your webcam. No one knows you're reading bullet points. But I would have things to talk about. So the first live I did on my own on Facebook was about preparing dogs to not have separation issues when lockdown lifted. The first lockdown. So we all thought we'd be going back to work and things. And so I had like clear bullet points on there on like what I wanted to talk about, just bullet points, not full notes. And I said to myself, you're going to stay on for 30 minutes. If people don't ask you questions, you know that content. It's what you do for a living. Just talk about it. Yeah. So I did, and just chatted about it. And I did end up with loads of questions. But to begin with, it's slow, isn't it? When people join, you're just kind of there and you just have to have a bit of fluff to fill the gaps with, so that you're talking and not just sat there looking awkward when people join, because they'll just swipe and move on, won't they, to the next.
Exactly. Yeah.
Next live.
What would you say then was your most viewed live? Do you know how many you've hit live?
Yeah, it would have been one of the ones for CAM. So CAM, the Canine Arthritis Management team, there's definitely been several thousand people on those, and they're still up on like YouTube and things now. They stay on their pages. And that's people from all around the world who tune into those ones.
Yeah.
And that's always really interesting, because what's happening with dogs and how we treat dogs in different countries is so different to how we do in England. So they're fascinating. But yeah, that I find is so useful. If you can go live with other people and use that joint audience, it's so, for me, it's been really helpful anyway. I don't know if you've done any of them. Well, we're doing this podcast now, aren't we? But when you do lives, it is, because you get their audience and yours, and some people benefit from both of your ideas and services. So it is worthwhile doing.
100%. And I've said this on a few podcasts and within the community, buddying up, you know, where we've got like competition and stuff, don't be afraid to reach out to competition and start talking with them, because there are points that as a pet business owner community world that we all struggle with, or that topics we all are against, like, you know, animal abuse and things like that, that we don't have to directly talk about our businesses all the time, do we? It's a case of you can talk about how you feel about things. So it's definitely worth buddying up, like you just said. But let's have a little conversation around Instagram, because Instagram is my favorite platform.
Oh, okay.
I love a bit of Instagram. How do you create your content? So you've got really good content. Where does it come from?
Whatever I find on my phone that day. No, I'm getting better at planning it. For the vast majority of the time that I've been doing it, it has just been, if I've been out with a client and they've given permission, so I've had my consent forms filled in, I'm really bad, but I do try and remember to take a picture of their dog or a video of their dogs doing things. And then I schedule that for the following week. So my images and my reels and stuff are pretty much a week behind of what I've been doing. So like I do pet trailing, so finding missing dogs with dogs. And when we're doing that, usually you'll see the videos and the photos like a week after the session, just because then I've had time to go through them. But I try and have some key templates that I use regularly. So like on a Sunday, I always have like my star student day. So mm-hmm. then I know what I'm pre-populating into that. And I pick the dog that I think has done the best that week or has seen a biggest change. And I just drag a picture of them into this star and it's ready to go. And I write a little bit about them. On a Friday, I try and have 5-star Friday. So I do like reviews from clients and put those up every Friday. And that's already 2 days out of your 7 days gone. And that makes it easier. Because I think the hardest part sometimes is coming up with ideas.
Absolutely.
And so having those days filled in. And then I also have a couple of brand ambassador dogs that are quite new. So they're the people who signed up to my membership, first of all. I've had them turned into cartoon dogs as well. So yeah. I can use them on different things. If I'm struggling, like I haven't got an actual photo or videos to create a reel with, I'll use the cartoon dogs and create some content around those. But I know I need to get better at reels because that is, yeah, it's what TikTok, it's what Instagram, sorry, is pushing now, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it gets way more reach than if you just put a picture up. It used to be carousels, didn't it? Now, sadly, it's reels. But we'll all catch up with it eventually. And then they'll change it again, because that's the fun of social media.
Exactly, yeah. Once we know what we're doing, this all change again, isn't it? But I'm really glad you focused or touched on reels then, because I think that is a big sort of area that's not really been tapped into yet, where I think a lot of people, like the people who are doing it, like I've seen myself get tens of thousands of views, but I'm actively doing it. If you are a pet business who's thinking, oh, I don't know how I feel about it, would you actively sort of encourage them to get on the bandwagon?
Yeah, and don't be worried about what you have to do. So it might play, I hope it doesn't, but if I click on one that I did recently, I don't know if I can make it pause, it tells you, doesn't it? So it got 155 likes, and actually I was naughty with this one, it was lazy. So it was an actual TikTok that I posted directly onto there, so it's got the TikTok watermark on, so that was naughty, and that doesn't normally get you good review, like good in metrics, does it? Because they don't like that. But that one got, I think it was like 28,000 views within 5 minutes or something. It was crazy. And it was just how to prepare your dogs for fireworks, but it was just a TikTok. I reused that content. I am trying now to make a conscious effort. As of the day that we met, the night that we met and I was in that hotel room, I was sat converting all my TikToks into reels using SnapTik or something it was called, like a downloader, so it removes the watermarks from them. Because they push them out much further. You get much bigger reach if it doesn't have watermarks on it. But yeah, that one did well. And it was just, 25,700 views straight away.
Yeah,
whereas weirdly, the TikTok got about 800. So it just shows, doesn't it? Same content on different platforms. It's worth putting it out there. Just reuse it. People don't know you're reusing it. Just reuse it.
Exactly. Fine. And I would just like to mention that I do not encourage TikTok videos to be taken over. But like you said, you were really lucky with
it. It was my own TikTok. It's not like I stole someone else's. It was mine. But they don't tend to like it. So I'm amazed that one got as much as it did.
It is really thing, because the algorithm's so clever at picking those watermarks. It's just been a really sort of lucky day. But reels is a general rule of thumb. People like this quick information, don't they? In video format, short form video is the way forward. And I don't know if you've done anything yet on Facebook with the reel feature yet.
I pulled them across from Instagram, which I believe is allowed because they're both owned by Meta. Is that right?
Yeah, so
I'm allowed to do it.
Depends on the sort of licensing with it, with the music, but majority of the ones that don't include licensed music will move straight over to Facebook for you.
But
it's good that you're starting, because I think that's the next big thing on Facebook. And I've noticed it a lot, even with reels that aren't technically reels on Facebook, they seem to be getting loads of likes recently. So I think this is something that's coming to Facebook. So if you're not on,
it was only a matter of time, wasn't it?
Exactly, definitely. But so you've got quite a good following on Instagram. I think over 1400, haven't you? Over 1400 followers.
So
how do you think you got to that part? Was that point, was that reels, lives, or was it just you?
The first 1,000 was reels didn't exist.
Yeah.
It was good old video. It was that way round, you know? But now I would say the majority of them and I don't get as many, and I am guilty of not putting as much time into Instagram and Facebook and Twitter as I used to, because I'm getting more financial benefit from doing TikTok.
Yeah.
But in terms of Instagram, it's that, and it's doing the collabs with other businesses. So I did a live on Instagram and things a couple of weeks ago about fireworks. That's actually what the reel was advertising. It was saying I was doing that live that evening, right, on how to prepare your dog for fireworks fears. And I was doing that with an enrichment company. I don't know if you've heard of the No Fuss Phil,
right,
a lovely lady called Tracy. And obviously that's something that all of my dog owners benefit from, is enrichment items. So I've teamed up with her. We've done some lives together. My clients get discount on her website. We do blogs for each other. And actually, it does really benefit me in terms of a customer base, because if somebody contacts her saying, I want an enrichment item because my dog has separation anxiety and I want to keep it busy, then she's like, oh yeah, but you also need behavior help for that.
Yeah.
So, Rachel. So yeah, it has been really helpful. So I think those collabs are worth doing as well.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it's so nice that you can support each other in that way.
Yeah.
It's not directly saying, you know, oh, actually, there's a trainer closer to you. It's somebody you've teamed up with outside of maybe the training world, but still involved. And
you've
teamed up that way, which is really nice. So this is where I'm going to not put you on the spot, but just give me your top three off the top of your head social media tips that you think every pet business owner, doesn't matter if they're walkers, groomers, trainers, sitters, whatever they do, they should start doing with their social media.
Post. Just do it. Post. Don't be thinking like it's got to be perfect and put it up. Because actually, one of my video on TikTok that has the most views out of any that I've done recently, it's on 650,000 views now.
Yeah.
Was one that I made in 5 minutes with this stuffy dog that I know people won't be able to see, but you can see, when I got out of my car after being at a Hooper's class and I was just messing around. And I poured orange juice on the floor and pretended to rub the dog's nose in it. And so I did this TikTok about like what to do to toilet train a puppy. And that just went mad. Like every day I get new followers and new likes on it. And it's months old now. It's still brewing and it's got this like lag effect. I could have sat and cropped that and added music and faffed around and tried to edit it. I didn't. I was literally having a cup of coffee in my conservatory, posted it, and it was the best thing I did. So I think just post. Don't overanalyze it. Don't think about it, just post.
We had this conversation, didn't we? We said when we were at the Women's Business Awards, the posts that take 5 minutes always do better than the ones 100%. You spent hours on. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Absolutely. I think the second thing that I would suggest that people do is not compare yourself to other businesses who have the same profession. Because actually, I know when I look at some of the other dog behaviorists, I know they bought followers when they first set up their accounts, and that is not worth doing.
Yeah.
I've never done it personally, but also I now have more followers on TikTok than them, and I didn't buy followers on Instagram. I didn't pay. What a waste of money. Just don't do it. That organic reach is so much better for you. And I think the third thing, and actually I was listening to a podcast this morning, and I don't know if you listened to it. I don't know if I'm allowed to mention it. It's not a pet related podcast, but it is a really good one. Stephen Bartlett, Diary of a CEO. Have you listened to that?
Yes. Okay.
So he has on the most recent episode that came out the other day, Paul Brunson, who's a matchmaker.
Right.
Okay. I don't know if you've seen him. He's on Married at First Sight and things.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Fabulous guy. Celebs go dating, all of these things. Amazing. So he started his whole business, which is, I believe he's now the most successful matchmaking business in the world.
Right.
In his bedroom with a YouTube series.
Okay, yeah.
And 11 people watched those first videos. 11 people. One of those 11 people was Oprah Winfrey.
Wow.
And that got him a TV job. So don't be upset. Where I'm going with this for tip number three is don't set about the numbers, because at the end of the day they are vanity metrics and they do not matter. And if you're only hitting, I know I'm stuck, I'm shadow banned, I was telling you on TikTok before, I'm getting around 250 views on each of my TikTok videos at the minute. Even if I just post 5 videos a week, that's over 1,000 people who've seen my content. So it's small numbers, but actually it's still 1,000 more people I wouldn't have reached if I hadn't have bothered doing those videos. And so never worry too much if videos aren't getting, you know, if you're not getting those views straight away, doesn't matter. It's still there and you're still going to have people who find them later on. There is that lag effect. And it only takes that one right person to be the person who's watching it who will then buy from you.
Yeah.
And I just can't get over the fact that he is now this multimillionaire with fabulous TV series. He's so famous.
Yeah.
11 views. Like the amount of people who must have just been like, give up.
Yeah.
Give up. Like your videos are being watched by your mum and your friends. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's such an important point what you said there. And I put up a post before and I said, if you've got 100,000 followers, so maybe if you've got an online membership, it's a little bit different. But if you are somebody who's just based, you know, you do your local services, if you've got 100,000 followers, are you realistically going to be able to service 100,000 dogs or cats or whatever you service? You're not, are you? So why try and chase the huge numbers of people that aren't going to be interested, i.e. bought followers who are, you know, all over the world who are never going to buy off you, when you could just focus on growing the audience you have and sort of, you know, inspiring the audience you've already got? Because I think a lot of people chase the new followers and then forget about the ones in front of them.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely that. Like they're only wanting new followers to grow those numbers. So doing, I know, competitions and things and asking people, make sure you tag friends and get people to like this post and whatever. But actually, really just getting them to just interact one like on that post and then giving them a prize, they're going to interact with more of your content. You've got to nurture those current followers. That's why you need to engage back with them. If yes. they comment, reply, hit like on the replies. And that I think is where actually TikTok is useful, because if someone comments on it, and I think you can now do this on Reels as well, but I don't get enough comments on my Reels to make use of it. But you can then post a video with a response to that comment underneath. And that's where most of my kind of good content on TikTok comes from. Like I said, it's not me dancing. It's not me with like copyrighted music in the background. It's just replying to people's questions.
Yeah.
Because that's what other people want to see. They want to know the answer on what to do with their dog as well.
Exactly. And when you talk about engagement and stuff like that, when people comment, I always say, even if they comment emojis, you comment emojis back. People like to sort of be recognized. And that, you know, I think there's nothing worse personally than when you comment on something, nothing, like crickets.
It looks rude. Yeah. It's like ignoring them. You wouldn't ignore someone in person. You wouldn't just literally and turn your back on them.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think that's something that a lot of people do, and they sometimes don't even notice they do it, because they post on like Business Suite, that post goes up and they don't look at it for 2 or 3 days. You've lost that person in that 2 or 3 days, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think sometimes one of the things I've noticed is I schedule posts on, I just use the Canva Business Pro bit to schedule mine, and the tags that it's put to other businesses don't necessarily always pull through. So even though I've scheduled them, when I'm having a coffee or whatever in the day, I always double check my post, because quite often it's just showing as gray. It's not gone as a link through to their page. And so then the other business that I've tagged doesn't know that I've tagged them. So then they're not going to add it to their profile. They're not going to like it. They're not going to share it. Their customers aren't going to see it.
Yeah.
So you just, even though they save you time, you've just got to make sure you do follow through with the actions from them as well, definitely.
Yeah, brilliant. So another big question for you, and this is not a scary one at all, but if somebody is at the start of their social media journey or feel like they're giving up, like they're not getting any clients, it's not working for them, what would you say to them? Because a lot of people, I think, they look back at the start of their journey and go, I wish I'd have done that. What is one thing you think, I wish I'd have done that from the start, and that would inspire other people?
I wish that I knew what my clients were looking for in terms of social media. So like when I first started on TikTok, I had obviously zero followers. I now have 3,500 and 98,000 likes.
Yeah,
I didn't think to do this. And this only came to me recently. And it was one of the hashtags I put on those videos that went really well. I didn't know to search. So to like, when you go onto TikTok and you've got your For You page, so like your Instagram page where it shows you all the videos.
Yeah.
The videos it shows you are obviously really popular videos.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that I could then click on those, see the hashtags that they'd done, but then you can filter it by most popular. So you can search and then you can see what other tags people are putting in. So you can see the search terms. So yeah. I didn't know. I've always put hashtag dog trainer. I didn't know the hashtag people were looking for was hashtag dog trainer UK.
Yes.
I never put the UK at the end of it.
Yeah.
Didn't know. So I was being found by people in America and in Canada. That's great. but they're not going to buy from me because I'm not going to be able to go and train their dog.
No.
So, and putting those, making sure you're looking for the right search terms has made a huge difference. And I just did not know that.
I'm so glad you mentioned the hashtags, because one thing I see all the time that I think, I understand why you're doing it, but then people don't think of it as in their audience trying to reach. Your audience potentially would never know the terminology of hashtag IMDT or hashtag, you know, whatever. They are trainer terms or whatever, yeah, whatever you're in, they're trainer terms or they're walker terms or whatever they are. And your audience are never going to find you because they don't know about those terms. So it's making them like hashtag dogs UK, hashtag dog UK, where these people would be.
Yeah. Absolutely. And the other thing is that in terms of what content to produce, if you're sat there going, I don't know what to produce, like I don't want to dance, I don't want to do for reels, I don't know what content to produce, you can go on there, put in dogs, look at the most popular dog videos, the ones that have got however many millions of views.
Yeah.
And then you can say, and they're always things like top breeds for this, five things I would do, five things I wouldn't do. They've all got these hooks. Yes. On these short form video things, whether it's shorts on YouTube, TikTok videos, Instagram reels, whatever they are, they've all got these hooks in, and that was what works better. So yeah, that then also gives you the framework that if you're sat there in your room thinking, I know I need to show up on social media, but I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Then you, like, that's where mine came from. I was like, oh, well, everyone's doing these five things. So I was like, right, five things I wouldn't do if I had a puppy.
Yeah,
as a behaviorist with that knowledge, here's five things I wouldn't do, and one's rub a dog's face in its pee. And so, like, then that just, and I just literally wrote down on a post-it note five things, went into my conservatory with my cuddly toy dog, did this video in like 3 minutes, boom, and away we went. So, because I'm not a creative person, like, I was politely told, do not do music GCSE. Like, it was like, you're not creative, don't do it. Stick to science. So I do struggle with that. Like, I struggle. So finding those trends and then relating them to your niche really helps.
Yeah.
So it gives you those ideas, and then you just fill in the gaps, don't you, with the bits that are relevant to you.
Absolutely. And something I say all the time to people is there's no such thing on social media as an original idea, I'm afraid. So they're all trying to think of what I can do that's different to everybody else, and somebody has already done it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you don't need to do it, you know, it doesn't need to be new, you just need to be you, because that's what people are buying from you. They, it's your personality, it's how you train the dogs or you groom the dogs or whatever it is that you do. It's your element of it that they like. So you, if you can get your personality across in those as well, sure, some people won't like it. I get that all the time. I'm sure you're well aware the dog world is so divisive.
Yeah, I
get that. And actually, in terms of social media growth, that does get you good growth. So like, the most controversial videos I do on TikTok are the ones that are the ones that grow the most.
Yeah.
Because people argue about them. I don't even get involved. I just let them fight it out in the comments because they're bringing more traction to my post. But that is how it works, unfortunately. But you don't need to be different. You don't need to have this magic idea. You just need to be you and be showing up.
Absolutely. And I think as well, lots of people, like you just said about, you know, trying to sell something, but you're not being you. I think it doesn't matter what you sell, people will buy into you as a person rather than what you actually do. And I think a lot of my audience have come from people who necessarily know how to put a post together, but they like what I have to say about it. And I'm pretty sure it's probably the same as you. It's not because you're a behaviorist or because you're a trainer, it's because it's who you are and your message, and you are displaying you as yourself.
Yeah, absolutely that. And also, I think, don't be afraid of the people who don't like your content, because they're probably not your ideal customer anyway.
Yeah.
So like, in some of my videos, I don't have my hair done, I don't have my makeup on, I'm not dressed up nicely, I'm not using it as a dating app.
No.
So that doesn't matter. So if anybody comments underneath being like, oh, you've got a really big spot on your face, I don't care. But I also probably wouldn't want you as a customer, because a customer who's going to say something like that to me, I'm all right, thanks.
Yeah.
I don't need that. But that's not what they should be paying attention to. So they're not your ideal audience. Just don't worry about stuff like that.
Yeah.
If someone doesn't like it, just move on. And I think that is, you know, easier said than done. Like, some, if people make really personal comments or say something unpleasant under your videos, it's hard not to take it personally.
Yeah.
But they're hidden behind a screen. And you've got to remember that that's just sadly, the world we live in now, isn't it? Like, that's just how people are.
Exactly.
Just ignore. And you can hide those comments. Like, if you think it's going to impact on other people, just hide them, delete them. I block people. People start being personal to me, I just block them and get rid of them. I don't care. They're not going to buy from me. They're normally other dog professionals. Just get rid of them.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a post I'm doing this week actually is about how to sort of deal with negative comments on Facebook, because I know that trolls are out there in force, aren't they? And it can be taken so personally. So what would you say, really, if somebody came to you and they're like, oh my gosh, I've got this really bad comment? It's just a case really of just ignoring it, isn't it, and getting on with your life.
And actually, I found on TikTok, and because that is where I get the most like negative comments, because I am controversial sometimes in what I say on there, that actually those people, if you ignore them, that is the biggest insult you can give them. They want that engagement from you. They enjoy that. They want an argument. It's like that drunk person. We've all got that friend, haven't we, on a night out, who just starts a fight every single Friday when you go on a night out. They can't just let it be. They just like that drama. They like that drama. But if you just literally hide their comments and block them, they've got no other way of getting in touch with you. They can't.
No.
So that is going to hurt them more and upset them more than you being like trying to explain your point and justify. You don't need to justify yourself to anybody.
No.
Like, if you've said, produce content that has kind of your key messages in, you genuinely believe what you've said, you're happy with what you've put across. If someone else doesn't like it, that's on them. They can just scroll past. They didn't have to start having a negative interaction with you. So just delete them, move on.
And social media is such a place, isn't it, that people can hide behind screens, unfortunately. So you are opening yourself up when you do social media to any form of criticism, whether it's positive or negative. But it is a case, isn't it, of just being you, being yourself, getting on with it, and just using social media for the good of your business and for what the message you're trying to display is.
Yeah. And I actually think, remember what your purpose of having social media is for, because we can have a cause that we're really passionate about. Like, I personally don't like the use of prong collars and e-collars. Like, I'm not a balanced trainer. I'm a force-free trainer. But my purpose of having social media is for my business to grow. It's to get people to come to my business. So yes, I could, and I have been guilty in the past of getting sidetracked into arguments with the balanced community about whose methods are right or wrong and all of this, and having tit for tat. That doesn't look good to your customer. So you don't need to be doing that. And I really have like reined myself in now. Like, if I see those things, I think, do you know what? Actually, is this social media account for me to try and push the force-free movement? Is that the purpose of it? No, it's not. The purpose of it is to advertise my business. So that's what I need to be doing, and keeping in mind that this account is entirely a reflection of my business.
Yeah.
So I have to let other things go. Even if I feel really passionately about them, I let them go. I actually now, as of yesterday, have two TikTok accounts. One is a personal one. One is a business one. So then when I feel really passionately about something that someone's done wrong on TikTok, I can argue on my personal account.
And that way. Really good point, because it doesn't matter, you know, what sort of trainer you are, what sort of groomer you are. If you are arguing, I think, with other businesses or other people on social media, and somebody who is a potential client sees that,
look good.
No, it doesn't, and it looks quite unprofessional. So it doesn't matter, I think, onto what your opinions are, as in pushing forward sort of movements like you've said, but using it for, this is how I train, or this is how I groom, or this is how I walk. If you like it, great. If you don't, there are other people out there for you.
Yeah. And there are so many dogs. What was it? 9 million dogs people got during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Why are we fighting over customers? There are enough customers to go around.
Yeah,
there really are.
And the pet industry as a whole, whether, you know, you're listening to this and you sell, I don't know, dog treats, it's a billion pound market. There are so many customers out there who want products, who want services. Doesn't matter who you are, you know, it's about being you, and that's really good. So the last thing I wanted to talk to you about, I know you've got a membership, haven't you? So your membership sits elsewhere, and I know it's not directly to do with social media, but if you could just give us a little bit of a insight into what it is, why you run it, and, you know, what the sort of future looks like for you with that.
Sure. So my membership is like a private part of my website. Someone described it to me the other day as like a dog's version of OnlyFans, and I thought that was dubious. I thought, I'm not going to use that as an advertising term. My dad would have an early heart attack, I think. So it's a private part of my website, so they get access to a full training library that I've put together. So it's all kind of guides on like different bits of training and behavior work that they can work through, pick out what is relevant to them. If they want it, it's there. If they don't want it, they don't have to have it.
Yeah.
Then they get a monthly private video. So it's not on any of my social media and it's to do with training. So this month's was on timing of markers and how to improve that. So then I set them a task. And they can send me videos of them doing it. There's like a message board. They can comment on each other's as well if they want to. They then also get a monthly Q&A on Zoom with me. So like a group one, because actually a lot of the time stuff you're stuck with, other people are stuck with their dogs too. Yeah. So they can do that. And they get access to all of my back catalogue of webinars that I've done over the years. They can watch those as and when they want, separation, body language, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But in terms of kind of social media, how I link to it, a lot of the time I'm showing what my clients are getting on my social media. So like I put up like October's training video and then like a 5-second snippet of the private video. Yeah. And in the hope that that then drives people to join the membership. Yeah. The way I work mine is they sign up, they get access to everything for a year and then they can roll on if they want to. They can stay for more years if they feel like they need to. And I really did it. It was actually one of my clients asked me to do it because she no longer needed face-to-face stuff with me, but she wanted to continue her training journey.
Yeah.
So it was so that actually she could just have these monthly things like, oh, I'll get up and do this with my 3 sausage dogs this month because
yeah.
You know, Rachel suggested it. So it was a continuation thing, but I do give all of my behavior clients access to it for free as part of their packages so that they can access stuff that's going to help their behavior journey with their dog, whether it's a reactive dog or whatever their problem is. But it's a relatively new thing for me. It is going quite well. I'd like to grow it more, but I need to get around to doing some more pushes on. I'm not good at selling on social media. I like to do a lot of educational content and that in turn does get you sales. Yeah. It does. But I think actually the posts into certainly on Facebook, the posts that do the worst are the posts trying to sell.
Yes, 100%. And this is nice. Sort of point to finish off, and I say this all the time to people, what doesn't work on Facebook, of course promote your business because that's what you've done it for, but what doesn't work on Facebook, Instagram or any of them in my opinion is posts to say I've got availability, 4 spots on my next puppy class. It's more about you sort of giving snippets of what you do and then saying, oh, by the way, if you want to train with me, you know, here's the information you need.
Yep. And then those reels can be so helpful, the reels, the TikTok videos. Like I did one the last week on pet trailing and I videoed a couple of the dogs, put it to some funky music of them doing the trailing, and then you get people being like, oh, I want to have a go with my dog, and that's when you hit them with, oh, if you'd like to, there's a session next Friday, here's the link, and really? Do it that way.
Yeah, well, that was a really good point to end on, Rachel. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to do this. Is there anything you have as like a last sort of little social media hint that you can give people, and then we'll call it a day?
Oh, one last thing. Do you know what? And I hate to end on a negative, but I think it is worth people being aware of it. Don't steal other people's content. And if you do share a post, share it from the original source and give them credit for it, because you will only tread on other businesses' toes, but also it doesn't look good to your customers if they then go and see it with like a million likes on someone else's page.
Yeah.
So yeah, don't steal content, produce your own, and don't be jealous of how other people are doing. Just work on your own stuff.
Awesome. That's brilliant. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.